This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. Win, lose or draw, McDelivery will always help bring home the 3 points. And speaking of points, order now on the McDonald's app and you'll earn reward points through every delivery. Order today, rewards tomorrow. You in? Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hello and welcome back to the Blues Focus podcast with me, Tommy Kelsall, Zach Woods and Josh Fletcher. Good evening, lads. How are we?
All good. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah. Has indeed.
Yeah, it's been a long time. We've had some technical issues starting up before we begin. And we've had like just some sort of connection issues. I've just got my old trusty uni Wi-Fi kicking in. So we haven't got an intro for tonight's podcast. But anyway, we'll just carry on talking anyway. So we are discussing tonight the Blackburn game, the open house that I was fortunate to be invited into. And also we're going to be just doing a little preview for the Rotherham game on Saturday. So let's kick it off with Blackburn. Obviously, we were it was a very cold one last night. Me and my brother were trying to stay warm for as long as possible. We missed the first goal because we were stood in the bar just trying to keep warm for a bit. It's another defeat. It doesn't look great on Rooney's behalf. But it wasn't the worst performance in the world. It definitely wasn't, great at the same time. But what did we think of it last night, guys?
Yeah, I'll kick us off. I think there were positives to take from the game. I thought first 5-10 minutes was a slow start. I thought the rest of the first half, we looked pretty decent. Nothing exceptional, but I thought we did look good. First 15 minutes of the second half obviously killed us. That's when we shipped in the three goals and things just completely went wrong. Thought we responded to the three goals well, which isn't necessarily a positive after conceding three goals. But we did look dangerous going forward. Sariki Dembele's first goal I thought was really nicely taken, a really good effort. Obviously conceding late on again killed the game, but it was an evening of mixed emotions. We've certainly seen worse this season, that is safe to say. It's frustrating because it's another game where we've shipped in a lot of goals. We've had a few games where we've conceded 3-4 under Rooney now, which is a concern. But going forward, at times, we did look dangerous. It's another loss, so we can't speak too highly or too positively of it because it's a results-based business and results haven't been good enough. But on the bright side, there were a few positives to take from the game, mainly going forward. I did think we looked dangerous, particularly after shipping in 3 goals.
Typical, isn't it? We literally had to go 3 goals down in order to kick into gear in terms of getting the ball in the back of the net, which is just typical Blues, really. But Josh, your thoughts?
Yeah, as Zach said, I think those kind of had like an okay first half. Obviously, it seems to be when we're coming out at the start that we kind of just seem to be sitting back a bit and kind of getting like a feel for the game. And as Zach said, it kind of takes us going 3-0 down to actually react to anything. And I think it was almost kind of like a shell shock. And I think we've seen with this team under Rooney that when we go that goal down, it is a bit of like a, oh God. But like they reacted to it well. The two Dembele goals he took really well, which is a positive sign that he's still got that quality and he can produce. And I think the goal at the end was kind of a sucker blow because we were getting back into the game. Looked like we probably were going to be the team to get the equaliser. And just that goal at the end really took away. But a better performance. But again, the results just aren't really coming. I know we got the win at Sheffield, but kind of definitely makes this Rotherham game coming up even more important.
Yeah, definitely. What did you make to the opening 3 goals for Blackburn?
Sloppy. I think the defence just looks disjointed, which under Eustace, they really looked like they all knew what they were doing. They all knew their roles. But watching the 3 goals back, all of them were just silly mistakes. I mean, the third one, Ruddy, we don't see that from Ruddy. usually that's just a routine save. Usually he just kind of catches it and we're off. But really poor from him. The first two goals as well, Awu and Sanderson, just as if they've never played with each other. They don't really seem to talk to each other during the game or seem to know where each other is. They just kind of, one of them just goes to get the ball. And if they miss it, then the other one's just kind of stranded. So definitely something they need to keep working on, especially if we're going to play this style that Rooney wants to play.
Yeah, it definitely is. After going to the open house, I know that from, you know, just sort of being there, you know, that's his definite approach, that is. And he mentioned that actually. He brought up a reference from the Ipswich game, the first goal we conceded, where Sanderson goes out, he misses the ball and they run in and then they score from it. And that was quite consistent last night with the first opening two goals, really. Which, you know, it's a bit of a shame, really, because, you know, those, you know, I don't think it reflects fairly on Sanderson, if that makes sense, really. I feel like he's been caught out a few times this season, and those were definitely chances like that. But I don't think he's a bad player. I know my brother doesn't particularly rate him, but I don't think he particularly rates him in terms of his ability on the ball, though. I think he's a decent defender, though. But yeah, it's definitely one to take into consideration. And yeah, like you say, Ruddy is like, I've never seen that really from him ever, apart from maybe probably even in pre-season or maybe the Swansea game last season where he just, but even then that was just like a lack of misjudgment. He's never been bad with his shot-stopping ability. So that was quite a surprise, really.
Yeah, I think the frustrating thing on the Rooney is normally defensively we're actually pretty good, and on paper this season our back line is probably the strongest it's ever looked. We've got Drama, who's prior to Rooney coming in have been brilliant, particularly in those final two games, both against Huddersfield and West Brom, he looked brilliant. We've got Ethan Laird coming back from injury, who first game back, to be fair, looked like he hadn't been away, but we know how talented he is. Buchanan's come back, looked very good against Wednesday, and can't compliment him too highly last night, shipping in four goals, but we know what a fantastic fullback he is. I'm a big fan of Sanderson. I've always loved him. I think he's that typical modern centre-back, strong, pacey, powerful. I agree with your brother, maybe not the best on the ball, but he makes up for that in other ways. And then Iwu, he's valued at £3 million. He's an imposing defender, isn't he? It's so frustrating that we've got these fantastic defenders on the pitch and we're shipping in, you know, we shipped in four goals last night, a few goals against Southampton, you know, even conceded to Sheffield Wednesday at the weekend, who are bottom of the league. It's infuriating because under Eustace, and even last season in parts, especially pre-World Cup, defending was our strong point. And now that our defence is looking probably the best it has in recent times on paper, we're shipping in a load of goals. And for me, that can only be down to the way we're setting up, the way we're being managed, the way Rooney wants us to play. So it's such a shame to see such a good defence shipping in so many goals. And as you said, Tommy, Ruddy, he's always been so solid, such a fantastic goalkeeper. Pretty much apart from, as you mentioned, that pre-season game against Rayo Vallecano, I think, where he made a mistake in Swansea. Yeah. He very rarely makes mistakes. He's so fantastic in the ball in the air, but it's just not quite working at the moment defensively, is it?
I think your AirPods might have just died.
Yeah. Hello. It's all going wrong. Oh, my God. I will. You know what? I'll send you a picture after this. My tablet is on a box leaning against my TV, so we're on a very budget setup today.
You gotta love it. This is what this podcast is made of.
There we go,
mate. Award-winning channel, all dressed up on a box and the tablet. And he's gone again.
Yeah.
And I've gone again.
Brilliant. Yeah, let's. Anything else to add on that, Josh, in the Blackburn game?
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of adding to what Zach's saying, I think we know that these defenders, they are decent defenders. Like, we've seen it under Eustace. And I think the problem we're struggling with is, under Eustace, the defence were more of they played kind of like a low block, in that they kind of sat back and kind of, when teams attacked, they dropped, got back into position and just kind of soaked up the pressure, let Bielik and Sunic move across, do their defending. And then if the ball did get past them, then it would be, boom, get it straight out. Well, I think with Rooney, they've been encouraged more to, they go towards the players. And when they're coming towards them, they hit them straight away. And I think they're struggling with that a little bit, especially Sanderson, for example. Like you could see in Blackburn, he goes towards the ball, and you can clearly see that's what he's been told to do, but he just doesn't get there, and he seems to be just slightly off each time. The ball's nicked past, and then they're through one-on-one. I think like Buchanan as well, he came back against Wednesday and was really, really good. But I think he's more the type that if he does go forward, he can get caught out. We know he's not the quickest. We've got Laird on that wing. He can get up and down. But I think Drame, again, he's more of a defensive fullback. And I think they're just struggling with that change in tactic of that we've got to get used to pressing when they've got the ball, the defence comes up. And if they do go up, they've got to go up all together and probably play the guys offside. And it's going to take a while, I think, with Rooney. I think we've got to get used to that. He's not going to go anywhere, Rooney. He's definitely staying till January.
I get the feeling like he'd stay till the end of the season as well, depending on... Yeah. It's obviously difficult to say on how results might go, but I think it'd be amazing, really, to see him go before the end of the season, really. It's going to have to be bad, isn't it, in order for him to...
I think so. Yeah, really, I know they said in the open house that it seems like in January there'll be a couple of transfers, but summer is definitely where the big overhaul is going to take place. And I think they've backed Rooney, and I think it looks like they are going to be sticking with him. He seems to be saying all of the right things. I know we didn't get to see on the live stream of what he said about his tactics and things like that, but from what I've heard from fans, they were very impressed. I mean, what did you take away from what he had to say?
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll segue this on a little bit. Definitely, it was. I think it was really just sort of showing that the players can play that type of football. Really, they took some footage from the training sessions and a couple of examples from the game. So they're working on in very small areas of the pitch. I think the first clip that they showed us was in the penalty area, where it was pretty much everybody in the box, so 11v11, and they were trying to work the ball around like a little rondo, basically, and try and keep the ball as quickly and as fluently as possible, which looked great. And the example they showed us was absolutely fantastic. It honestly went on for about, I'd say, nearly about 40 seconds, really, and just keeping the ball relentlessly and quite calmly as well. Like players like Dembele and Miyoshi, once they've got it, it's just like, you know, it's immediately on. The touch is immaculate and the pass is brilliant as well. A few other players were looking a little bit shaky, just a couple of trying to get the ball on quickly as possible. But that football looks great when it's working and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got a good setup. They've got a good setup idea in terms of when they lose the ball, because one of the examples that Rooney showed was at Middlesbrough in his first game, where the back two, which was Kevin Long and Deion Sanderson for that game, were like miles away from the central midfield. And they get the ball and they play it through. And it's just like everybody's chasing back just to help Sanderson and Long both out. And Sanderson has to make a ditch challenge, their last ditch challenge, just try and get the ball. They nick it round him, and then obviously he's offside, but he puts the ball in the net anyway. So that was an example of where it goes badly. But an example where it goes right was against Sheffield Wednesday, and the back line's all, they're sort of very compact, so the midfield is just in front of the defence, and they win the ball and they sort of squeeze them in together so they can win the ball that way. And that looks great, and, you know, and when it works, it's great. But once you play against teams, and this is something I was thinking of, obviously, because we're playing Sheffield Wednesday there, who are bottom of the league and really struggling. But you take that into another account with Middlesbrough, who at that time were coming back up and, you know, making more better form out of themselves. And also from last night against Blackburn, who are now seventh, you know, better teams are going to provide that tougher challenge, which of course is going to be the case. And, you know, it doesn't mean that the system doesn't work when, you know, you come up against teams like Blackburn, and, you know, we've got bigger games coming up as well this season. We've got Leicester to play, who were going to be tough to play against, you know, but Rooney's made it clear that he wants them to play that way. And it does work as well, because the players can play it. And there's some players who would really thrive under that. Players like Siriki Dembele, players like Koji Miyoshi, who looked great in the training session. And the goal that they showed in terms of the build-up for the game against Wednesday, Jordan James, like, it starts, like, there's loads of passes in before it even gets to James. And the movement is excellent, you know, and they're drawing players out of positions, they're moving it around them. And then once Joe Stansfield's out on that right, which I don't particularly like him being there, I feel like he's much more clinical in the midfield, in the central role, and you could probably get Ollie Burke or Sarikhi Dembele to play that role instead to try and, you know, have Stansfield in James's position. But it's nice to see that working still, though, because once the play is nice and smooth and it's flowing, then it works and it's great to watch as well, because that Jordan James goal was fantastic to celebrate with, because it was just like that last little bit. And I think the finishing side, though, is something the players themselves have to work on, really, because obviously there can be coaches who can help them out. I mean, James Beattie was a striker coach a few years ago with Adams, and the impact that he had with him was absolutely immaculate, really. So I think in terms of like that, though, if we don't have, I don't know whether we have a striker coach or not. I'm not too clued up on that, but they do need to work on the finish and the delivery as well, which I thought was poor last night as well. Like Bakuna again, like it's just like a cross. You just can't seem to find the man, you know. And he put some decent crosses in last night, but no one there as usual. So just need that little bit of edge sometimes. But the football definitely works. But yeah, it was great to see, really, and obviously just being in the same room with Wayne Rooney and everybody got this very intense analysis.
Yeah, I think it's good you got that insight as well, and it's very clear that Rooney is a manager who wants to play his way. It doesn't matter the players he has; he wants to play a certain way. He was the same at Derby County. He wanted his players to play out the back and play attacking football, and that's what he's trying to do here. And it's quite contrasting, I think, to managers we've seen in the past. Maybe not the best example, but it's the one that springs to mind for a short period. When Lee Bowyer first came in those first 10 games he took charge, the way he was speaking in his first few interviews, he was emphasising that we've got to go back to basics. He used Juki as his example an awful lot. Get the ball into the big man and play from there. And Lee Bowyer, whilst he didn't have the best end to his time at Blues, because he did start to go off piece a little bit at first, he understood that he needed to play to those players' strengths. Whereas Rooney, he's different. He wants to adapt and mould these players into playing his way. So I've got a question for you, Tommy, which I'd be interested to know if it was answered. I assume the answer is no. But did they speak about what the goals were for the season in terms of on the pitch? Because they said they'd invest slightly in January and they said they'd really go for it in summer, which is all well and good, but what does it mean for this season? Is this a season where we're just looking to survive, or is it a season where we want to push forward and go for that playoff place? Because if I'm hearing that slight investment in January, more in the summer, all well and good, but what about the here and now? Because I know Rooney wants time, and I know the players want time, which is fine, but there's only so much time that can be afforded before things really turn on their head and we're 5-10 games down the road and we picked up another 4-5 points max. So was that answered? Were goals for the season on the pitch, was that answered?
Yeah, it's a great question. And no, it wasn't really. It was a lot of next season, a lot of future planning, which is all great, like you say. And, you know, all the ideas they've got for Blues of making them into a brand, a name, and like an icon almost. And making them the city, I feel like, you know, that's the biggest thing they're looking for. But no, it wasn't mentioned. And I did think about that. I wasn't keen to ask many questions because I felt very privileged to be there. And I thought, I'm not going to ask stupid questions because it just feels like they just wouldn't get answered, really. But it was, it was very much like the most here and now things about what was happening on the pitch was the analysis they were showing, really. And they did mention a little bit about how possession-based football is so important in football nowadays, because they pulled up some statistics from the past 8 seasons and they monitored like how many teams have succeeded over possession-based football. I think 88% of the teams that were highly possession-based have been promoted in the last 8 seasons. And that might be wrong. I can't quite remember the statistic. Numbers don't work well with me. I only got a C in my maths. So they put ours in it, and all the little statistics they put with was all red, you know, and the positions that have really shown from it are evidence as well, which is fair enough. Although it does make me smile, because my dad and my brother will laugh at this, but the one where we had like slight pale green, where it done like we done okay for the season, was the Gary Monk season, and I like that season a lot. So just like, there you go. You know, we're playing decent football. You know, we're getting back up the table. And we finished 17th because we had a points deduction and a 5-game defeat. But yeah, I think I think a realistic view of what might be this season is like a sort of like a lower mid-table finish for this season. It's like a 14th or a like a 15th or something like that. Because I don't think we'll get relegated. I think there's way worse teams than us. I think Wednesday and Rotherham are in big trouble. QPR as well.
Yeah.
Which is lucky for us because, you know, it could be another season where we finish below 17th, which please just don't. I really don't want another season like that.
I mean, I said it before the podcast. I think the Rooney situation with getting rid of Eustace and getting Rooney in has clouded what a fantastic job the owners have done. And as I said, even the small details, the way, obviously, we've had the big details in, you know, the seats coming in and the ground being fully open again. But even like behind the scenes, a few pictures I saw, everything looks really done up and amazing. Small things like fireworks before the game and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, the open house is a big, you know, statement to say we're going to be open and communicative, which is a complete contrast to what we saw from the previous owners. Whilst I agree, hopefully we won't go down, I am still worried because performances haven't been great, results haven't been great. Yes, there are teams that are sinking, but I always hate having to rely on other teams in order for us to get what we want. So I think it is quite concerning in terms of the way we're playing at the moment and the results we're picking up. And we don't want, it's frustrating to potentially being set up for another season where we're not moving forward again, because this was the time, the new owners coming in, a completely fresh squad. This was the time for us to push forward. And it's almost annoying that it sounds like it's being set up and almost delayed for next season. And as I said, I'm sure we won't go down because we've got a decent team and we're going to get some investment in January. But what about what if we do go down? Because what's next season then going to look like? What is all this investment going to happen then? Because the amount of money you lose from going from Championship to League One is huge. And for me, as a fan, the way I see it is the most important thing in football is results on the pitch. And it's all well and good, all this stuff being around the outside of the pitch being done, which is brilliant. And I'm as a fan, extremely grateful for everything that's being done. But results and performances have to improve. It's as simple as that, isn't it? Because recently it hasn't been anywhere near good enough.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It hasn't been great. But yeah, like I completely get what you say. Like, is there a plan B or anything? Which I imagine there isn't. And I feel like the results will pick up soon, as Gary Cook was sort of alluded to in this opening monologue. I should also mention, actually, before the 5 hours that we were there, the amount of transparency and the amount of things they were telling us about was honestly so much better than anything the BSHL have ever done. You know, the little statements that BSHL put out to the supposed chairman and everything, you know, that was, you know, it was nothing. It was honestly that sort of stuff was just absolutely laughable compared to the stuff that they did at the open house. Honestly, I think there's not many clubs in the world that have done stuff like that, the way that they did that on Monday night. It was absolutely terrific. And the way that they sort of did it was different to how like those meetings go. I've been in meetings before with stuff like that where they have breakout sessions and they put you into groups and they perhaps come around and talk to you. I thought when I did see it at first that it was going to be like one of those breakout sessions where you have like a discussion of the sort of stuff you want to hear from and that, like, and we had like a tour guide. So there's a few other groups had like people like Davo taking them around, Dale Moon and everything. And I thought we were going to be sat around the table with the guy and he was going to talk to us about what was going on. But instead they took us around the stadium for a quick tour for about 30 minutes. And they said of all the things that they've been doing, and then they took us to different parts in the stadium. So the Rooney thing was in the tunnel. I think that was in his office. Darren Carter and the technical directors were also there, Craig Gardner and Hope Powell. The women's side was pretty similar to the men's side. Obviously, we're not going to talk too much about it because I don't feel like we would give a very good example, because I don't really watch the women's games. Don't watch the women's games nowhere nearly as analytical as I do as the men's games. But still, it looked great. And obviously, they're doing a great job with them at the moment. And hopefully, they can get back into the WSL soon. And then they took us to the club shop with Mark Smith and Ian Dutton, talking about the business side of things. Talks about the impressions as well that we've been getting since the takeover and everything. And obviously with Tom Brady and everything and Gary Cook and coming in, this like we've been such a big attention for the media. And that's what made me realise is the media, they love a story. And we have got a story now. We've got a proper story to tell now. It's like, and this Birmingham on the Rise stuff is looking fantastic, you know. And like I said earlier, they want us to be like the city, you know, and they want, I was speaking to the community people at the end, it was in like the last session we had, and they were talking about the, you know, that badge, you know, having that connection with that badge, and, you know, the kids who are in like poverty and struggles were coming up and everything, you know, they're all Man City and Man United fans, you know, and they've got no connection with that, but they want to, you know, tap into that and make Birmingham City like part of them, you know, and they obviously like they weren't born into it like all three of us were. So let's go into their lives and make a difference for them. And then they could come watch the games and have that same sort of interaction really with, and obviously with Sky now, sorry, with Sky and people like that being interested in reporting on us, you know, it's led to an enormous amount of repressions and it can only be good for the club really. And I might be wrong on this statement again, actually. I feel like there was definitely billions of impressions we've been getting on social media. But I honestly think that I honestly feel like I remember Ian Dutton saying that we've had about 24 billion impressions on social media, which I don't know if it's true. That might be my brain's remembering it. It might be 2.4. but we've had a lot of attention, which has been great. They put a little video out on the trailer thing. They had people like Brummy Joe and things and all that, and all the people involved in the social media side. I mean, I wasn't included. I was a little bit.
I was going to say, where were you, Tommy?
I wasn't included in the video. I felt a little bit upset by that, but that's fine. Don't worry about it. I wasn't really there. They weren't there for me. That's for sure. That was the Football Content Awards. That was all about me. That was it.
Before you segue onto that, actually, I do have one more question. What were the breakout rooms like then? What did that involve?
Oh yeah, I wasn't segueing it on. I was still talking about the open house. Yeah, the breakout sessions were basically like presentations, basically. So Rooney did his thing about the analysis and the way they wanted to play it. Ian Dutton and Mark Smiths were like how the club's going forward, the sort of the future for the brand of the club and everything, and the partners they're going to look to attract. And then it was Jeremy Dale who was doing the new supporters club, I think it's called. Yeah, I don't remember much from that now that I remember. I know it feels like I haven't said anything, but I honestly can't remember much from that. And then Liam Daish was talking about the academy side of things when we went up into the Legends Lounge. Yeah, that's it. That was good. He had Brandon Keeler, if I'm pronouncing that wrong with him, Gemma Lawley. They talked about sort of how the academy's given like a good start in life to young people and everything, which I've thought about this actually. We also had a couple of other sessions, which I'll get onto after this. But I thought about like the academy and obviously the way that he said about you know, a good start for young people in their lives. I thought that's a great thing to say, really. And I did think though, because he acknowledged, you know, not everybody who comes through the academy setup who's going to go and be a professional footballer. But it did make me think, like the way that they're sort of going about things and being like, you know, Birmingham being the city now. Like, it did make me think, like, those younger people, they could educate them and sort of, like, get them ready for a job at the club. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, because obviously Gardner, for example, he's done it the other way around. So he's become a footballer, but now he's gone on to go and get another role in the club, or the director role. Yeah. But if there's a really smart kid, you know, who's, like, I don't know, doing well in a school and education and stuff like that, but, you know, he's also with the academy at the Blues, but doesn't quite make it towards the professional level to go and play for the actual team, you know, then there's still an opportunity for him to go and get a job at the club, which I thought, you know, and the way that he was talking about giving people a good education and giving young people a good start in life, I thought, well, the Blues could really tap into something like that. So I think there's an opportunity there for them to be a real influence in their lives.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had at Kidderminster when I finished high school. I went to play for Kidderminster and I was playing football full-time, Monday to Friday, game midweek, and I was doing a course at the same time. So it allowed me to have an opportunity to make it into football, which didn't happen, but there you go. But it gave me a qualification as well. So if I want to work in sport in the future, which hopefully I will, I've got that there as well. And I think a lot of clubs are sort of doing that these days. And I think it's brilliant because it gives those young people opportunity. Go back 20 years, if you... all you've done all your life is play football and 21, sorry, you're not good enough, you're released. Well, what do I do now? But having the opportunity to play football, and if you don't make it, well, you've got this qualification behind you. and you can go into this industry. I think it's brilliant. So I don't know if Blues, did you say they do have something like that, or you think it would be good if they did?
I think it'd be good to have something like that. So the academy could be almost extended into a like an education system almost. So they, excuse me, they almost have like a like lessons with it, and like they go on to do something they're interested in. You know, just like a little bit of extra tuition whilst they're playing football and everything. Mm. Particularly if it doesn't look like they are going to be on like sort of going on to becoming like a player or anything. Mm-hmm. But if they've got like a real passion for, I don't know, business side of things, you know, then
away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
They could get them involved with the club. I don't know. It's just a thought and everything. But I think it's the way that he was talking about like the good start in life and everything, and the education system, the education they're given as well, and making them good people. I feel like that's something they could really tap into. I feel like it's a possibility for them, really. Yeah. Then we moved into the new Alliance suite or lounge or whatever it is. I think it's just called the Alliance, actually. Which is amazing, by the way. It really is like proper top notch sort of stuff. Then the room, obviously, they've got the bar, which is in the that sort of circle, horseshoe shape. They didn't serve drinks, of course. I did have a cup of tea there, though. It was like my eighth of the day. Honestly, I was up about 6 o'clock, going around, rushing around, doing loads of stuff. But then there's like this little breakaway sort of room as well, which is just really nice. It's the one thing actually about I do like about the not just the one thing. It's just one thing that I like about it, but the amount of blue that's in the stadium now, it looks great. You know, the seats are like proper blue, and you know, the seats, the stairs are white, all the little banners are proper blue and everything. So it really stands out, you know. When you're down by the pitch as well, it's quite low light and everything. Looking at like the opposite stand, I took a photo of it, and it's like the colours in there, and the tunnel's really blue as well, and all the new art and everything inside the tunnel's really blue and everything. It's also it's not painted onto the wall as well, which I thought was quite interesting. It's canvas, so the you know the new sort of stuff along the side. It looks like it's the wall and everything. It's like this sort of. Like sheet. I imagine there's a wall behind it. I don't think if you'd lent on it, you'd sort of fall through it. But there is like a wall. It's just like a little bit of like a sheeting almost. It's a canvas, which I thought was quite interesting. Probably nobody else does, do they? But yeah, it was good though. It's like all the new design of things, and they've got bigger ideas as well that's coming out. I don't know whether this is out in the public, actually. Nah, I'll forget it. We were told things that are a little bit confidential. I don't think they would be upset if they were coming out. Also, obviously, they wouldn't have told us about these things. But yeah, I'm just being a little bit, I'm being like a tad cautious, just in case I get an angry phone call off somebody saying, "Why did you put that out there? We didn't have that outside." Yeah. Aside from that, I mean, the guy we were talking to about the renovations and everything was excellent. You know, I'll remember his name in a minute because he was really good in terms of the way I was talking about the new stadium, the new looks of the ground and everything. And I honestly, the speed, like I completely forgot how quickly they did it. It was absolutely remarkable. All the stuff outside the stands, and you know, they showed us another clip of like the time lapse that they took, and it's like I completely forgot about that, because obviously I went down to the Trevor Francis thing and they just started all, and it was like pretty much bare, and it looked like the old 2010 stuff because they had all that up before. And it was all down immediately. They got the established 1875 thing up, they got the Birmingham City thing, and then obviously got the badge and the two sideboards as well, and then obviously all the stuff inside the stadium, and you know, the lower tiers as well. Like they've had their little bit of a blip with the Buckingham Group going out of business, but as soon as they got the other people in, it's like woof in.
Yeah,
done.
The cop came up like that, didn't it? Literally, yeah. Click of the fingers and the cop sorted.
They've done it quicker than, because obviously Anfield had the same people, didn't they? And they finished our stadium quicker than Anfield. Like that's not, that's still stopped. So they've literally
I can't remember who they went with, actually. I think they were a local business. So they said, Buckingham, we've gone out of business. Do you mind finishing the job off for us? So yeah, that was pretty cool for them to do. But yeah, they've obviously got the new subs benches in. They've done the alliance, which was also had its issues of its own. It was meant to open the Leeds game, and they had that massive flood from the, I think it was a leak in the ceiling that they had. So they had to sort that out as well. But then just woof, straight through, which really sort of amplifies the sort of intent they've got, really. And obviously, yeah. Tom Wagner and Knighthead and everything, it's like they want things done quickly, but also done properly as well. And that's sort of what I took away from all of that, is that they want to be great. You know, they don't want to be, you know, just stabilizing and just see where it goes from there. You know, they've got big ambitions. They've got in a massive partner with like in undefeated. They've got bigger ones lined up, and they've got an ambition to get us back into the Premier League and make us an established Premier League team, and really just make like us like a proper club again, you know, and get fans down to the ground and everything, make it a good atmosphere, make it a good, you know, a good sort of thing to do on a Saturday. Because Gary Cook said this in his Q&A at the end. He said like nothing worked when he got here. You know, there was no heating, there was no hot water. There's nothing works. The phone lines are all pretty crap as well, so they're fixing those, and the Wi-Fi and the connection and that. So really, it's just like them trying to make Birmingham City Birmingham, if that makes sense as well. It's like the city is ours, you know, and that's the thing. That's the mantra that they were really trying to get through: Birmingham on the rise again. You know, all those things that have been, you know, sort of used as like advertising tools are really stuff that they stick with. I think Gary Cook's probably the best person to take us forward in that mark as well, really, because he's just got the idea, isn't he? He's already great in business, and he just gets the Blues as well. So really, I think there was nothing really that was that you could really argue with, really. I think that they timed it well as well in terms of when they were doing it. I think it would have been better had they done it perhaps between two home games, because it would have been good to have come back down. Like if last night was at home to Blackburn, like the atmosphere would have been really, really quite good then, wouldn't it? It'd be quite pumped from the feeling. But because it was Blackburn, and I mean, we took a fair few, but still, it was like, it just wasn't our soil, was it? I mean, after Sheffield Wednesday, putting a win, Rooney's first win as well, so we're feeling better at the stadium and everything. But had it been like Blackburn at home last night, I think it would have been like, yeah, we're here. We can see all the changes. We've heard all the stuff on social media, which as well, other people who did stuff on it as well. We've done an article. But other people who've written stuff up about it and done Twitter threads and everything, they were excellent as well. Great to read through. Yeah, it's just a really great night, really. I can't really say anything bad about it, really. There was nothing bad to report. I don't know whether you guys got any other questions, because I feel like I'm rambling now.
No, I think everything you said there, as I said at the start, is so positive. And we couldn't have had a better group, I don't think, come into the club. In terms of what they've done in the short period of time they've been here has just been remarkable. And as fans, we're all so grateful for everything they're doing and will continue to do. It all sounds so positive, and I know results aren't exactly what we want at the moment. But having said that, they're clearly ambitious people. They clearly want what's best for Birmingham City. And even, as I said, the decision to get rid of Eustace and bring in Rooney, again, although isn't proving fruitful at the moment, they just want what's best for the club, which couldn't be said about our last owners. So we're so lucky to have them in, and the open night sounded really good. It sounds like they were so open, so transparent. I mean, if you're delving into things like tactics, it shows how open and how honest and how much they want the fans to be informed and know, which is a complete contrast to the last guys. So it just, it all sounds really good.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think the one thing I've taken away from that, obviously, as Zach said, like on the pitch, it's not fully working. And I think under the old owners, it would be like, oh God, it's only going one way. But I think with these current owners, they've come in, and I think the word is relentless. That's kind of how they're active with everything, is that if they're faced with something, they're going to get it fixed like that. And I know, obviously, it hasn't had a good start with Rooney, but every time I watch us, I just think, although it's not good, I'll go away. And when I rethink it, I can't see it failing, because I don't think they will allow it to. They will be so relentless. They will just keep going until it does. And you say with the risk of relegation, I think, yes, that is there because the way results go in. But I think there is we won't get into that situation because they will not let it happen. I think that's if they have a clear aim and nothing will stop them. I think if they need to, they will cut ties with Rooney, but they are going to make sure he has every single opportunity to succeed. And they'll only do it when there is no other option. And when they do, they will have a backup option.
Which they definitely will. They'll have they'll have a manager as well that will be relevant to the style of play and the attitude the attitude that they want as well. Sorry, I'm coughing a lot tonight.
Cold night last night, mate.
It really was, actually. I feel like it's brought up a few colds and stuff like that. oh, come on. Because we were saying that, weren't we, when Rooney was appointed, that he, if he doesn't work out, they will have another manager in charge to you know, carry on that plan. And that wasn't the case with BSHL or anybody before that. It was like, well, we sacked a manager, who do we get in now? Like, Bowyer was someone to keep us up and, you know, perhaps keep us on board and everything. Karanka was their idea of like a rebuild, I think. And when that failed, I think they threw the toys out of the pram a little bit. I think they were a little bit upset about that. I think, I definitely think, though, the Monk is definitely the biggest thing that sets us on this path in terms of going down such a spiral. But, you know, that's the old Blues now, really. And really, since they've took over, you know, there is no... there's no way we're going to end up going back into those patterns of like being self-destructive as usual. I know that Rooney at times might feel like a bit of a self-destruct button, but you know, the idea isn't the self-destruction, really. Like the idea, you know, because if he comes in and wins his first three games, it's worked, isn't it? But because it hasn't worked, and they were tough games, you know, in fairness, in hindsight as well, you know, we were playing teams who were very much on the rise in terms of coming back into good form for the season. And we have got players who still are, you know, struggling to find their feet and everything. But we've got some really good players as well. And I definitely do believe that it was a bit of a rash decision to make Rooney the manager after such a good run with Eustace. And I also think it's a bit rash, like Zach was saying earlier, and like I've said before, to change up the system and change things that were the players were getting used to. But, you know, that's how football goes, you know, and I think those players are more than capable of playing their positions and those tactics and everything. Because, you know, we weren't like out of the game last night. I feel like that had that been Eustace's team last night, I think they probably would have got undone. You know, that counter-attacking football probably wouldn't have worked last night, really. But, it's still a work in progress. I imagine there'll be some fans out there who probably won't want to hear that, but... You know, that's business, really. It's not football in that case. It's like it's business, and footballers on that pitch, you know, have still got time to work on things. They've still got time to find their feet and find the right positions. But definitely the business off the pitch is stable. There's no way that that's going to be an issue in the future. And I'm very, very happy about that after these last few years, really.
And Rooney didn't have the luxury of a pre-season or the opportunity to get in his own players, did he? So... hopefully over January and hopefully over the summer, if he's still here, he gets that opportunity to mould the squad and do what he wants to do and set them up in pre-season the way he wants to. And then we can really push forward and hope results pick up, because at the moment he's got to find a way to get this team playing good football and get us winning games. And hopefully that will happen very soon.
Yeah, how do we think we're going to get on against Rotherham then?
Rotherham aren't doing well, are they? They've had a really, really tough start to the season. It is a home game, isn't it? We're at home, right?
Yeah.
I think it's giving similar vibes to the Sheffield Wednesday game in that I do believe we will win the game, but how convincingly we win the game, I'm not sure, because Sheffield Wednesday certainly wasn't a convincing performance, was it? So whether Rotherham will be similar, I'm not sure. But I can see us picking up 3 points, especially after the open house. And yes, we lost 4-2, but there were positive signs in that Blackburn game yesterday. So I can see it going well this weekend. I can see maybe another 2-1 win. I can see us getting a couple, but defensively we are conceding a lot. I can't see us keeping a clean sheet anytime soon, put it that way. But yeah, I think this weekend is a good opportunity for points. And it's a game where really we need all 3 points, because like you said, Tommy, we have had tough games recently, but to be honest, the Championship's a tough league, and if we're just going to roll over every time we play a tough team, then we're going to go down. So we need points against Rotherham, all three ideally, and I think we'll get that. I think we could walk away with a 2-1 win.
Yeah, I think we'll win. Josh?
Yeah, I think this is the first game under Rooney where we'll properly see how he wants to play, because I think Rotherham will come and just sit back. I think Sheffield Wednesday had that kind of counter-attacking ability, which I think our defence at the moment aren't too sure about, like with quick players up front. Obviously, Rotherham are very much just hoof it to Jordan Hugel. And I think Sanderson will be okay with that. I think that kind of suits his game a little bit more. I think it'll be the first game where we have proper possession under Rooney. And I think that's where your players like Dembele, Miyoshi needs to get on the ball in this game and do how he was playing under Youssef, where he was going to the ball and looking to find space. So I'm hoping that we have a lot of the ball and we create chances. Again, I don't see us losing. There might be a slip up and we draw, but really I see us winning. And I think we need to use this as the catalyst now to kick on. I think the Blackburn game wasn't the result, but I think the way the game played out kind of suited Blackburn, in that they kind of like that chaotic kind of game. They don't keep clean sheets, and their tactic is very much just score more than the opposition. Whereas I think Rotherham will come more to sit back and we'll have to break them down. And I think that's where we will play better, when we've got the ball and we'll be able to play that possession game that Rooney wants to play. Because when they get the ball, they're just going to hoof it. And I think if we press them, they're going to panic. So yeah, I think we'll see that press. We'll see Rooney ball. And hopefully this will be the kind of like the showing to the fans of that Rooney can say, look, this, it works. And just hopefully we get it.
Yeah, I think they're the best opportunities to show it, really. Because against Wednesday, we were, had a decent display of this. Definitely in the second half. First half, we weren't in the game at all. But I feel like we've kind of got to show that, really, because we're not going to get a better opportunity, really, unless we play outstandingly against Leeds, which is very unlikely. Because those games, are must-wins anyway. But if we're going to get fans on board with the way that he's going to be playing, then this is perfect opportunity, really. But rather from a definitely a decent side, there's still a good, they're still got chances this season to turn things around. There's definitely still things that we can worry about them, really, because if they are going to do a bit of a hoofball thing, then that could result in like some opportunities for them to try and get beyond Sanderson and Iwer, really. And the goals last night, really, from Smodics, really were like sort of variations of launching it forward. But they definitely caught Sanderson and Iwu out. So, there's opportunities then for them on the weekend. But yeah, it's tough to say that they, are going to win, because their form just doesn't show it, really. And I think they've got like 13, 12 points, one of those, really. So they've not had a great start at all. So I definitely think we're more than capable of winning at the weekend. I feel like get Stansfield through the middle, keep him there through the middle as well. Don't let him go drifting out wide or anything. If we've got players that need to drift wide, let it be Burke, let it be Dembele, one of the two. Even Miyoshi, get him going out to the wide and picking stuff up, and creating chances, through the middle and everything. So like, and obviously, if they're going to play hoofball, then we're going to play it on the floor. So like, we've got to do like the opposite of what they're going to do at the weekend, which is like a perfect opportunity for us to demonstrate Rooney's new tactics and everything. And I think we will win. I think we'll win 3-0 as well. I don't think Rotherham will challenge us, really. I feel like Sanderson and, Ruddy have obviously been called out for stuff on game against last night, but it's mistakes and everybody makes them, so I feel like they'll make up for them at the weekend. I do feel like we're going to win. You say 2-1, Zach?
I'm going to go 2-1, yeah. I can't see us keeping a clean sheet at the moment, even though Rotherham are having a torrid time. But yeah, I'm going to go 2-1.
2-1. And then Josh, you went a 2-1 as well?
2-0. I think we 2-0, will keep a clean sheet. I think they all have chances, but I think we'll just get away with it and we'll get our first clean sheet under Rooney.
Very good. Well, go on,
I was going to say, I guess there's two bits of news that have come out today.
Oh, yes.
Rather comedically, the new mascots. What do we think?
I thought you were going to talk about Donovan first. I thought that's the first
thing. I think the important stuff first in the new mascots now. They're interesting, aren't they? They're a downgrade, they? Fair to say.
What have they done, honestly? I'm not a fan of them at all. Yeah, I don't know who looked at those and thought, yes, they're good. I'm going to take those and run them through.
We've smashed them. But
I think it's one of those decisions where you look and you just go, why?
I don't know why they do them though. Like, were they? Yeah, but the old mascot suits a bit like, were they a bit worn out or something? Were they looking at getting new ones? And they said, well, rather than buying the same old ones again, why don't we go and make some new ones that'll look better? No kid's going to want to go and get their photo taken with that. That's just, I don't like that at all. Moving on. Donovan.
Not great, but
move on. Yeah. On to
that. Yeah, I think more important news is the Donovan contract. I think overall it's such a positive thing. I've only watched I think two or three games of like a full 90 minutes this season with the 21s. I think two actually, but the games I've seen him in, he looks brilliant. Very, very good on the ball. Probably the nearest thing to a first team player is Miyoshi, in that he's quite a small build player, but he flies past players like they're not there. I think it's so fantastic we've got this young lad on a contract now, only 17. He's obviously come off the bench. Is it twice now he's come off the bench for Blues? He just looks really, really good. And I think to have him as our player, I think is so fantastic and such a positive thing. And we've mentioned it before, but Rooney loves to play the younger players, doesn't he? And I feel we've seen it with Ramel Donovan signing a contract today. We've seen Jordan James getting far more minutes, which I think is a really positive thing because I think he's looked very good so far this season and showed early signs of that in pre-season. But to have these youngsters coming through the ranks and someone like Ramel signing the contract, I think it's a really positive thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to just flash this message up in the chat. Do you remember the blue nose mascot? I don't remember him, but I have seen photos of him. My mum's had a photo of him
before. I've seen pictures.
We've had bad mascots before, that's for sure. Yeah.
Is this one worse?
Worse than blue nose. I just remember him. Like I said, we used to have like there was the halftime entertainment, which coincidentally it's actually not a thing anymore, Chip and Win, is it? That's
I thought that, yeah. I thought they were waiting till obviously the Tilton opened back up, but they've just completely stopped. Because they're doing more of the talking now with the whoever the halftime guest is.
I suppose so, yeah. They've got the new camera stuff as well on the board as well. But we used to have I think it was the shed or something, whatever. People used to try and chip it into the shed.
Yes.
And people used to boo it on.
Yeah. They got rid of it for a couple of years and then they brought it back for like once.
One game. I was at that game.
One game.
But we've had some weird half-time entertainment. We had for like a couple of games at the start of the Monk season where we're doing like this spin round the ball and then like dizzy penalties basically. Yes. And that was just like a disaster. We also had the 8-8-8 sport thing. We had to kick it through the circles. Yeah. I never was a fan of that. Chip and Win's the GOAT, that's the thing.
Chip and Win is the best.
No one's ever even had a go from the halfway line, have they? They definitely have.
Nobody's ever gotten in from halfway, but they definitely have gone to halfway line.
They've got it from the one before, haven't they? I remember
Colin Doyle always used to be able to do it from the halfway line. I remember that in the Chris Hughton season where the season after we went down. He used to always do it from the halfway line after everybody'd done their bits. And Rich on the mic, he says, he's done it again. Yeah. He's just like literally launched it from the halfway line straight into the back of the net. No bounce at all. Just completely in. Yeah, there's been some funny conventional stuff at Blues before, hasn't there? Blue nose, the shed, the tamperer as well, which obviously people were kicking up a fuss at the start of the season, weren't they, about that as well? They wanted a new song. Yeah. We've changed that as well, haven't we? in previous years. But I suppose maybe some conventional things would be good to bring into back into play with the new owners. Maybe they could have a look at some of the things like that. But that's pretty much what we wrapped up for today. Nothing else to talk about, I don't think we do. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Blues Focus Podcast. We're going to try and get back into a more consistent flow. We know we've missed a few games now. We've missed, Ipswich was the last one we were doing. We'll try and get back on those a bit more. I feel like, why don't you do a podcast on the old times at the club? I don't know why, actually. I don't know why I don't do like just old time Blues stuff. I don't think I probably am the wrong demographic really to doing like old Blues, really. I'm only 21. Well,
to be fair, your knowledge is very good of like from when you were born to now is pretty good on Blues. So I think certainly the last in the 2000s, I think
maybe we could make a segment for it.
Sounds good.
I think we've got a bit of a delay as well.
Yeah, mega delay. Probably best to wrap it up.
Yeah, I thought that as well. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Blues Focus Podcast. Thank you, Zach and Josh, for joining me again. We will be back after the Rotherham game on Sunday night, so be sure to tune into that. Vlog coming out as usual on Saturday, and we will be doing more stuff coming up very soon. We've got a few podcast guests lined up for the new year as well. Looking forward to all of that. Just some more stuff as well. Obviously, like we've mentioned, we won the Football Content Awards. I did do a vlog for it, but I didn't get much footage in the end, so it's difficult really to try and pin together stuff when Jamie's over your shoulder completely out of his mind. I'm joking, he was actually quite sober for most of this. It was a good night, that was, but it's just the start of things really. We're going to kick on from here, and we've got bigger, better ambitions for the channel and the brand as general, really. So be sure to stay tuned to all the things that we've got coming up. Plenty more to come. Thank you guys for listening, and keep right on.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.